So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable, Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
Where are the stars in this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Les, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Doc. I've known all along that you and Pete have something going on. Right? And so when you guys cut me out completely last week, I can understand, you know.
We thought that, well, we were having troubles last week. We started like a half an hour late.
Yeah.
And by the time I did call you, I thought that you would figured, well, there's not going to be a show. We're going out for the night.
Neighbor, it was like it was after it had been a half hour, and I assumed you'd lost power again. I know I hear it, you know, on TV about storms, and neighbor had something heavy in the bed of his pickup truck and asked me if I'd help him lift it out, and I was probably out of the house 3 minutes all told, and that's probably when you called.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We were thinking about trying to call you back, like, during the program.
Yeah, I know. You and Irish Pete, get it on. You know, that's cool. I understand. No, hey, Doc, it's your show. I'm just, whatever, you know. We're having our own Brokeback Mountain or whatever.
Les, there's no replacement for you, my friend.
Anyway, it's good to be back. And we don't have to move our time slot now, right, because TNA is going to be on at 11 o'clock at night.
That's right.
So we can stand pat for at least 15 minutes.
For at least another month, we'll be here.
Yes.
At this time slot.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe longer. Who knows?
Yeah. You know what? Before we went on the air, we're talking about Saturday night main event.
Yeah.
It was okay. It was entertaining. The biggest thing for me was Ross being back.
Yeah.
You know, before I get into that a little bit, another side note is even Austin, in certain comic situations, he comes across all right. He's comfortable with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. But anyway, yeah, the thing is Ross, like, it was so natural, you know, and he makes you kind of like something that maybe you don't like. I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not, but... he sells his credibility, and he puts things across, and I think that's, and when I say that, I don't mean any disrespect to Joey Styles, who I like as a person, and who most assuredly had a lot of energy, and was the face of ECW, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he's being prompted or scripted, whatever the case may be, and they've taken that energy away from him, and he's tentative, and I understand, you know, he's trying to find his niche, but... basically, part of, I think, what's wrong with the business today is the scripting thing with people, you know, personality, you know, the guy's getting over, Blackjack Mulligan, who's being inducted, the Blackjacks are being inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame, and I've worked with both, but Mulligan was one of the great interviews for me because he had a cast of characters,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, but that's what got him over was him being, you know, being what he was comfortable with, and I think that's the sad thing is that's you know, even an announcer, you don't stop thinking about it, but part of their job is being creative too, but to a certain degree, right?
Right.
Certain guys oversell things to a point where it's like, you know they're pushing the product, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that they can't, it shouldn't sound that way, but anyway, I was glad to see JR back, and I don't know what he's going to, you know, but gosh, you know, it was very comfortable, and you knew why he was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
You know, without thinking about it. Rosie got released, Maddie.
Yes.
You know, gosh, what a great guy, too. I mean, he's my neighbor, actually. He just lives 10 minutes from here.
Mm.
He and his wife and their beautiful kids. But, you know, here's a guy, man, and I know work ethic doesn't come into consideration when they make these decisions. But this guy was one of the, he was with me for a little over a year. And 98% of the time, the first time I heard the door open in the lobby when I was back in my office during practice days, it was Matty or Rosie coming through the door. He was the first guy there.
Yeah.
And he had a great work ethic, was easy to get along with, great to do business. He and Eddie or ECMO or Jamal or whatever name you want to call him, they were the Island Boys, and they were really over strong with us for, as baby faces for the biggest portion of that time. And, man, he's just a good guy, and I hope he hooks up, you know, maybe Japan or whatever. But, you know, again, good talent. Just wasn't utilized properly. Never
no.
was. Speaking of talent, re-signings, Shannon Moore.
Yes.
Got Palumbo.
Mm-hmm.
Test has come to terms.
Yes.
And, of course, I guess Charlie Haas will be back after he gets done with the Super 8.
Yeah, and what does that tell you?
Well, it tells me that they're trying. I don't know what it tells me. It's like a merry-go-round, you know. But, you know, what I was thinking about earlier today, and when I was making some notes about, you know, some things to talk about tonight, is that, you look at it from the financial standpoint, look at it from a fan standpoint, you know. But these guys as people, you got to realize how much this messes with your emotional stability. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really. You know, I mean, you need the steady paycheck. After a while, the politics become, get tired of, you know. But it's, I don't know. It's just, you know, that's a terrible thing. But, you know, we all talk about the passion for the business, following your dream and so forth and so on. But at some point, it is about money.
Yeah.
You know, well, like with Shannon, if he was off, you know, and everybody's saying, well, this is why. You know what? It doesn't matter why. He's got a better deal than he had to take it. You know, I mean, that's just...
I'm pretty surprised, but yeah, I mean, I understand that.
Sure. I mean, you know, well, see, he hadn't signed a contract. They were waiting, and I know this from talking to somebody, you know, with a company down there. He had a contract, hadn't signed it. They were putting some new additions or taking some out, whatever the deal. Anyway, they were making changes in the contract.
Uh-huh.
And so he was waiting to get a fresh copy or a new copy with the revised copy. I'll spit it out here in a minute. Before he signed. So, and then the other deal came up, and it was from, you know, what it was for, I have no idea. It was 2 years, is what I understand, with a year option on the other end for a third year. And obviously the money was better. So, and the check's there every Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that you got to think about that. You know, but Shannon's a good hand. Sad thing is, if Prince of Punk, say that fast 10 times, that's been trademarked now by TNA.
Right.
So they have a name and don't have the Prince of Punk. And Shannon's going to have to think up another name.
Yeah, they're going to have to bring in, TNA's going to have to bring in the new Prince of Punk.
God, this makes things so difficult, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I never had the trademark Les Thatcher, or I never had to ask anybody if I could use it someplace else. Jim Barnett gave me the name, by the way, well, not the name Les, but the name Thatcher.
Right.
In 1962, and because everybody had a hard time pronouncing my real last name, which is Malady, and people say Malady, Malady, Malady.
Right.
You know, whatever, but everything but Milady, which is Irish. And anyway, and it's just this whole corporate thing, I guess, is better and guys make more money and so forth. But it's, you know, it sure isn't as simple as it used to be.
Yeah. See, that's why they call me Doc, because Edmonton is just like, it doesn't sound right.
I understand.
I'm just kidding.
I got you, man. I got you. But those guys are back. Palumbo's a big guy. Test, I haven't seen, but they say he's really in better shape than he ever was.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's and Jindrak is working out down at Deep South.
Yeah, I've been wondering where he's been.
Yeah, he's
trying down to get
there.
A hold of him.
Yeah, he's down there. So. And listen, I went over to HWA's pay-per-view last Friday night. I won't go into the whole, but it's, if you don't worry about it. I mean, whatever you think about the free preview, it's worth the $9.95. It really is. And I'm not saying that because he used to own the company, because I'm more critical of them, they'll probably say it, than I am of other people.
Yeah,
I used to own the company.
Right.
You know, but no, there's Cody Hawk and John Moxley with the last match in a cage match, and it's brutal and double blood and big bumps. My only complaint there was the finish was overbooked and it was drug out way too long. That took away from it. But it was, I mean, it was strong. Jimmy Yang and Pepper Parks for the HWA heavyweight title. Spot Fest, it was good, but I would have liked it better if they settled down, because really Pepper's not the airless that Jimmy is, and Jimmy is a hell of a performer at that. But anyway, the match, I thought the match of the night that stole the show was Nigel McGuinness and Chad Collier. It was technically just a hell of a match. I gotta say it better than that. To me, was worth the $9.95. And you know, and Crazy Jay and Lotus, these two brothers from Dayton who now are doing tag team with Ring of Honor as the Irish Airborne.
Yeah, big guys in the indies.
Yeah, okay. They had a ladder match. It was off the charts. And then Matt Stryker opened the show with a kid named Tack, and they had a good match. I mean, everything else was pretty good, but, you know, these are the matches that made it worth, you know, if you're going to buy it, that's what I'd buy it for. You know, and they had some little video packages which were pretty good. I thought, you know, overall it was, you know, when I went over, I had no idea what I was going to see, you know. But, I think it's, you know, it's well worth it. And they're going to do, I think, 3 or 4 more this year, so.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool. And what's up on your side of the world?
Well, on my side of the world.
Yeah.
Well, Spike TV has changed their plans for TNA Impact the week of April 1st. I don't know if you remember, the original plan was to move the show to Thursday night. And a lot of people said it was to avoid going head-to-head with the Hall of Fame ceremony
right. On
USA. But now, Impact's going to be airing in its usual time slot, meaning that it's going to be at the same time as the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Oh,
so,
gotcha.
Head-to-head with
the Hall of Fame. Who's carrying the Hall of Fame?
Who's carrying?
Yeah, is it pay-per-view?
No, USA Network is.
Oh, okay, cool. What time is it on?
I believe it's on at 9 Eastern.
9-ish. Oh, okay.
So that's, I don't know, man. I don't know what TNA's thinking. The Hall of Fame ceremony only happens once a year. Impact happens every week.
And you'll see some of the, I think the draw for the Hall of Fame thing is, if, especially for a fan, you'll see things that people you haven't seen in a long time.
Right.
To see how they've changed and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were talking again, the two Blackjacks are being inducted by Bobby Heenan. And I was saying, Blackjack Mulligan, one of the best interviews I've ever worked with. And, man, that covers a lot of ground, because I work with a bunch.
Now, it's going to be interesting to see his acceptance speech.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how he may just be very, I mean, Bob is a hell of a guy. I really enjoy working with him. We worked in a couple of different territories together. And, I mean, and I enjoyed his company as a person, and he and his family were always real good with me. I'm glad to see him getting the recognition. But, yeah, he was one of the great guys on the stick. He had a cast of characters, and he told about a huge portion of his interviews were like, you know, he'd say, you might say, well, you know, Blackjack, you and Wahoo McDaniel have a cage match in Richmond Coliseum next Friday night. You know, Lester, that reminds me of the time when my Uncle Reba Joe did this or that. Or I remember one of the things, he was getting ready for, I think it was an Indian strap match with Wahoo McDaniel. He said, so I flew home to Eagle Pass, went out. And Spider Grip took me, my ranch foreman took me out on the back 40 and whipped me across the face with empty tequila bottles to get me ready for this. You know, I remember this, and this was like 74 and 75 when, you know, 73 when we were doing these promos. But I remember them because he drew you the picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
He told you a story, but he got that we were talking about earlier about scripting or prompting people on how to do things, and he was in the land of the Giants at that time. Realize that WRAL television in Raleigh, North Carolina, Wednesday starting about noon, And we would go till 5 o'clock in the evening, and we did probably 125 promos of two minutes or plus for all the outlets.
So, right.
You know, that we were running. And on those promos, I had guys like Ric Flair, Blackjack Mulligan, Superstar Billy Graham, Boris Malenko, Wahoo McDaniel, Ole Anderson, and to name a few, who were all good on the stick, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Blackjack just, I mean, and you know, he, well, people just don't talk about it. But anyway, I mean, but a great guy, and I'm glad to see him get the recognition. Yeah, one of the best interviews I've ever worked with.
Man, that's a good story.
You know, I'd love to get him on the show. I don't know if he'd do it or not. But I mentioned another great interview who we are going to have on the show very soon is Ole Anderson.
Yes.
Yes.
He is going to hopefully be on the show.
Yes. Talked to him down in Mobile at the reunion, and he said, "Yep, we'll do it." I said, "Okay, we'll batten down the hatches, rock, and go at it."
Yeah.
I tell you what, he
said, "I can't wait to get my hands on that little punk reporter that you do that show with." I'm going to twist him verbally.
I tell you what, he's mellowed a little bit, but Ole is Ole, and he's always going to be Ole. I'm like Cornette. He's obnoxious. He's loud. He's a big, but I love him. I mean, I just, you know.
I'm just afraid he's going to give me a tongue lashing.
Well, he might. He might. He might do that.
He'll be like, "Doc, you're so stupid.
But
don't you know anything?"
Yeah, but.
And then I'm going to have to tell him, "No, I don't."
I laugh. I forget who was in the conversation, and we were standing out in the motel parking lot, and I forget what it was. I did something, and he said, "Thank you, Les." And I said, "Somebody write that down." The date and the time Ole Anderson said thank you.
Yeah.
Who said that he's Rakowski's not mellowing in age, with age? So.
Yeah, here's another new thing that. That didn't really go on in your time, but prior to the Raw and SmackDown Super Show, the entire WWE roster was surprised with their first urine test.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? Everybody says that had been taken away. And you know what? I don't know up on the main roster because I don't work up there. But we did drug testing in HWA when I had the contract.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and I was the first time, I didn't even know, I mean, well, I never knew about it, but I mean, I was really shocked the first time because these people walked in the door. So we're looking for Les Thatcher, and I said, "Yes, we're so-and-so-and-so from such-and-such, and is everyone here?" "Yes, they are." "Okay, lock the doors." No, they didn't say that. But, you know, so, I mean, it was a total, they came in cold.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was what took up our morning. And, but, yeah. So
was that state mandated or?
No, company.
Ah.
The company had it done. No, state. No, no, I don't know of any state that would test for that because they won't spend the money.
Right.
They like to collect the. Oh, I won't even go off on the state commissions. I won't even start there. I really.
Yeah, we the show's only 2 hours long.
Yeah, it really. Well, that there's something you can fill 2 hours with. You get you. Like 10 wrestlers just each jump on and say, "What do you think of the athletic commission?" Ah, here we go.
Speaking of Jim Ross, we were talking about earlier, WWE has decided to bring back Jim to host the Hall of Fame ceremony on April 1st.
That's cool.
And hopefully that's not an April Fool's joke.
No.
But there's talk of him coming back to call at least one match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Probably the Money in the Bank match.
Yeah, I've been corresponding with Jim a little bit, I think, and some of the people with WWE production. I think the plan is to do a Best of Brian Pillman or Pillman DVD.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So
that's big news.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be coming up in the future. And so, we had occasion to JR and I, and JR's been going to the gym and taking care of himself, and God bless him, I'm glad.
Good.
You know, that position is, I don't care who it is, him, Johnny Laurinaitis, God, or Vince McMahon. It's a stressful position to be in with the responsibilities, and he was multitasking even more than Johnny does because he had the television thing to deal with, too. So it's, you know, But I'm glad he's back in the mix. And you know, as far as for his health, if he's comfortable with the limited work schedule, I think everybody else should be too. He's paid his dues, for God's sakes. He deserves a rest if he wants to.
Yeah. One more piece of news. WWE has gotten YouTube to get rid of all the WWE-related material, including video games that feature WWE characters on them. Like, on YouTube, some of these people have what you call, I don't remember what they call them. Have you ever heard of eFeds?
eFeds?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, it's sort of like an eFed, but they use a video game instead. And you watch the matches and things like that. I can't remember what they call them. But they have little feds like that on YouTube.
Right.
Where they use WWE games to make the characters and things like that. Well, all that stuff has all been wiped out now. So WWE got rid of all that stuff on YouTube. No more WWE.
Wow.
They're really cracking down.
Yes, well, you know, they're only making billions, and so we... No, I understand. They own the property, and it's theirs to do with, or as a... You know, it's amazing. If you go back and just think of, during my career, 60 to 80, there was always television, you know, but of course, there was a time when there was none. But anyway, I don't even think that we bothered to sign releases at television, you know, talent releases or anything. And we're never, I mean, actually, TV was the lowest paying, and some territories didn't pay at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Tampa, if you were doing the job, you got $25. If you were going over, you got your hand raised. You think it's so? It's the only territory I was ever in where guys fought to do jobs on TV.
Yeah.
For the payoff. No,
right.
You know, but the theory or the thought behind that was, in part, well, these guys who are getting over are being utilized at the top part of the show, so they're going to make the most money anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just like the advertisement, right?
Right.
So that was the deal.
That was always my thinking when I was a kid. I was like, why don't they pay the loser more money so people, you know, will be more susceptible to losing?
Yeah, a lot of places they did
that. And I didn't know I didn't know anything about
Indy TV, Cincinnati TV, they were 25 for the winners and 40 for the losers. And there were some TVs that didn't pay you at all, period. It was part of your deal.
Right.
You know, and so don't expect anything, or maybe $15 or something, which just, you know, to cover whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you never signed anything. So, I mean, you stop and think all the imagery that was passed around then, my God, you know. See, there... The only value I see, there to me is where I realize that unions can be overbearing and pushy and, you know, so forth and so on. But it's a shame that some middle ground couldn't have been reached in this business, you know, for the guys to have retirement and, you know, that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
You know, but, or residuals or what have you. And I'm glad to see the guys that are getting the deals with, with the dolls and stuff through WWE. I think that's great.
Uh-huh. That is. And it's really cool to have just a doll made of yourself. You're like sort of immortalized.
Yeah, I these dolls are more, I mean, so much more lifelike, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way they're doing the scanning and stuff now. Yeah, it's really...
I remember when Kung Fu Grip was big.
Yeah.
On an action figure.
I look at these things down, it's like looking at the guys. I mean, it really is.
Did you ever have a doll made of yourself?
No, I never did.
So less Thatcher HWA figures?
Yeah, no, I never. Well, I'll tell you what, one of the guys did, one of the kids that was with HWA when I was there, so when I still had the company, took one of the games. Well, I don't play video games. You know more about this than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the games where you could take and create your own characters on the other,
right.
On the imagery that was already there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he put me in his game on Steve Austin, and I kept giving everybody the bird all the time.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, so
fans nowadays, they'll do that. They'll make they'll go on the games and create a you and send it to you and stuff.
Yeah.
And they'll even create action figures now. They'll take an old action figure and mold it and make it look like you. Just fans. I've seen Jimmy Jacobs dolls.
Yeah.
I've seen Samoa Joe dolls. all kinds of stuff. These fans, yeah, they really get into it.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about the back in the day, and I've got a special collection of Global Wrestling's yellow pages of wrestling. And what that is, Tom Burke, who is a historian in the wrestling industry, and I've known him. He's one of the few guys still alive that saw me when I was wrestling under my real name the first year in the business, because he's from up in New England. But anyway, he sent me this book, and he used to put one out every year. And it's all the states. It covers each state in capsule form on a page. And it's got, this is from 1977. It's got a bunch of newspaper clippings. So I thought it would be kind of cool. Over the next few weeks, I'll just pick one at random. And one I've got here is Championship Wrestling, Boston Garden, Monday night, September the 19th, 8 p.m. That's 1977. Double main event, WWWF, title in a steel cage. Graham versus Strongbow, superstar Billy Graham and Jay Strongbow.
Wow.
Texas Death Match, Bruno Sartor, San Martino versus Ken Patera, Fuji and Tanaka versus Gurria and Zabisco, all-star action-packed bouts at the Boston Garden box office, good seats available. And here's the ticket prices in 1977. $3, $4, $5, and $6 for ringside seats.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a tax on a ticket today, right? $6.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but that was 1977, so.
Made the big names in that one.
Yeah. Well, you know what? A lot of these big names were in a lot of, you know, were around the country in different territories. There were some strong, strong territories one time. But, yeah, that's a cool book to have. I'm glad he sent me that. Tom's also on the CAC board.
Cool. We've got a great show for you guys tonight. We've got Samoa Joe. He's going to be our featured guest from TNA. Of course, everybody knows Samoa Joe, and he's going to be here to answer your questions and do a little interview with us. Also, Tom Pritchard, Dr. Tom, from EPWT. That's how most of you guys know him. But he was also a wrestler and a trainer.
Yes, and for 9 years, the head scout and trainer for WWE, worked in Tower Relations.
Yes.
In the tower in Stanford.
Yes, Titan Towers.
Yes.
We are going to take a quick break, guys, and we're going to get to Tom Pritchard when we come back. We've also got a Hot Topic a little bit later on with Irish Pete Doyle. He's going to be our Hot Topic guy tonight.
Pete's going to propose to Doc on air. I know, it's all right, hey.
Anyway, back to the show.
Yes.
Back to reality. We're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we've got Dr. Tom Pritchard for you on Wrestling Weekly.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Brothers and sisters, we're here for one reason and one reason alone.
What's up, gang? The Trey Dog here with my tag team partner,
JFK.
Are you looking for the latest and greatest in wrestling media?
Check out a brand new site, www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
The new home of some of your favorite wrestling radio shows, such as
Wrestling News Live,
WTR Sunday Nights,
Monday Night Mayhem,
Wrestling Weekly,
and Trash Talking Radio.
Also, a brand new show that will cover the latest from the world of PS2, PS3, Xbox, and Xbox 360 video games. Not to mention video interviews and other special wrestling video features. For your one-stop shop in the world of wrestling and video game media,
visit our new home at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
Country boys don't rock and roll. Yeah, the record band's home, so you'll never get it on the radio. Well, I'm a crazy son of a
bad word,
but I know I'm gonna make it big and rich. Yeah, I'm gonna let it.
www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
Here's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip. It's just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
And now it's time for the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hello, this is Adam Martin from WrestleView.com with some breaking news. For all the latest and greatest in wrestling media, check out a brand new website at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com, the new home of some of your favorite wrestling radio shows such as WTR Sunday Nights, Wrestling News Live, Monday Night Mayhem, Wrestling Weekly, and Trash Talking Radio. Also, a brand new show that will cover all the latest from the world of PS2, PS3, Xbox, and Xbox 360 video games, not to mention video interviews and other special wrestling video features. For your one-stop shop in the world of wrestling and video game media, visit our new home at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com. This has been a breaking news update from WrestleView.com. I'm Adam Martin.
Back to you!
Hi there, folks. This is Joseph White here, and I'm here to tell you about a brand new show on www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com. The show is called From Pillar to Post Live, and it is taking Wednesday nights by storm, with such guests as AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Don West, Indy Star Human Tornado, and many, many others. This show is something you do not want to miss out on. That's P2P Live every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right after In Your Head. For more information, such as how to contact the hosts, upcoming guests, and to chat with other P2P fans in our forums, log on to www.p2plive.net. That's www.p2plive.net. We'll see you Wednesday night, folks.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a freaking bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, then an obsession. Check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now from WWE, he's a trainer, he's a wrestler, Dr. Tom Pritchard. Tom, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. I know that you are at a show right now.
Yeah, but first of all, let me correct you there, Doc. I am a former WWE-er and former WWE trainer, but let's not let the facts get in the way of a good story, okay?
Okay, will do.
Good deal.
I don't know what he's thinking.
Huh?
I don't know what he's thinking, Tom.
Yeah.
I can't just say, I have to call you Tom tonight. I can't. If I call you Doc Young, that's tough when you got all these surgeons and medical people.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. Like,
it's like working in a hospital.
Yes.
Yeah, more than you know, man.
We have a live remote tonight, ladies and gentlemen, from Alcoa, Tennessee.
Alcoa, Tennessee is a rainy, wet, dismal evening, and I just got out of the ring, and obviously this is one of the, in my opinion, better independent shows in this part of the country, and it still has a ways to go, but I think the guys work hard, and at least they're making a conscious effort to try and be good instead of just a conscious effort to try and act like they're good. So I will give it to these guys tonight, man, for that.
Well, good. Very good. Well, you know, Doc, that's something I wanted to talk about a little bit tonight, too. We're doing these camps around the country and working with the guys in the independent circuit. It shows how much there is a need for places like Ohio Valley and Deep South.
Yeah, it does. It does, I think, Les. What I really think is missing a lot in the independents is the veteran to know themselves, what it takes to tell a story and not have the huge ego and worry as much about getting themselves over as they are about helping the younger guys and the younger talent get over today. I mean, when I was coming up, of course, we were running all kind of characters and all kind of veterans who wanted to get themselves over, but these days there's a shortage of guys who actually want to help the younger guys and help that younger talent get better. And also I'll say this too, there's a shortage of younger talent out there who understands that these veterans are trying to help them. Occasionally I'll come across a guy who wants to learn and really wants to soak everything in, then I'll come across the very next guy who doesn't have a clue and couldn't buy a clue, and we'll look at you with those deer in the headlights type eyes, and that's what's really missing today is experienced veterans helping some of these inexperienced guys, and the inexperienced guys able to understand what's being said to them. So we're really in a quandary in a way that the independent scene won't get any better. Unless they do, some of the guys on the independent scene won't get any better unless they do go to a place like Deep South or Ohio Valley, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, it's universal, too. I got an email yesterday from a trainer in Israel, and this guy has our manual, and I'm not plugging the book, but he does. And anyway, we correspond occasionally, and he sent an email the other day asking about how about slowing the guys down and everybody scripting their matches in the dressing room. And I gave him my standard seminar pitch about that, and sent it back to him. I said, print it out and read it to him. But I said, we run this. But that's the same problem there as it is here. It's slowing these guys down, and teaching them to tell a story. They're so intent on being acrobats opposed to being wrestlers.
Well, you know, I know we beat this into the ground before, just you and I talking about it. But the thing is what. A lot of these guys, or the majority of these guys out on the independent scene, don't understand and don't get is what they see on TV is such a small, minute part of what the business really is about. On television, you may have, if you're lucky, 6 or 8 minutes to tell a story. But that's including your entrances, and that's including from start to finish. So you have to learn how to work more than 6 or 8 minutes, so you're prepared if the time ever comes that you get a chance to go longer on TV. But what the guys also don't understand are the house shows and the live events that WWE superstars participate in, too. They have to work a different style and learn how to work without the cameras being there as well. Mm-hmm. And the slowdown is a major, major issue. You don't learn how to do that by reading it in a book. You only learn by doing it, and it's timing, and it's listening to the fans, and feeling it in your gut, and that's the difference between the majority of the guys out there today and the majority of guys out there years ago.
Yeah, you know, some of the guys, you know, they've been running guys in one door and out the other up on the big rosters out of OVW, guys who for the most part, most of us would generally agree upon the fact that they're not ready to be there to start with. Who do you think down there, from the last time you were around down there, that's ready to go up, or, you know, probably is ready to go up, maybe has the it factor, who hasn't been given a shot at the top yet?
Well, there's a couple guys in OVW, but the one that really stands out to me would have to be Aaron Stevens, the Idol. He's one of those guys that, in my opinion, was ready to go on the road over a year ago, and for some unknown reason, which only the powers that be in their infinite wisdom or in their dangerous, incompetence, don't always understand. He hasn't had that opportunity yet. But eventually, I think Aaron Stevens is going to get a chance, and if he plays his cards right, which is becoming more of a factor every day, as we all know, he's going to be a major player. I think there are some of the guys in OVW that have been given the opportunity, like the Spirit Squad. You have how many guys are on there? Six?
Five.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's how much they made an impression on me as a squad. I think they're impressive. But I think they're even more impressive as individuals, which really befuddles me sometimes when I see them take five, or at least I know three individuals. No, let me give it to all four because I haven't seen Nick Mitchell actually in the ring. But the four guys like Johnny Jeter, Mike Mondo, Ken Doan, and Nick Nemeth are all talented individual performers, and you lump them all together. You know they're going to get in that category where it's not going to be impossible to break away and be individualized, but it's going to make it a little bit more difficult. Yeah,
definitely.
So,
all right, I'm going to take some questions from the chat room if you're ready for that.
I'm always ready for questions from the chat room.
Yeah, they got the WWE on the brain tonight.
Yeah.
But, how do you feel when you were first told about the skip and zip gimmick, and why do you guys think you weren't pushed further?
Well, let me say this. I hated the skip and zip gimmick. It wasn't me. I didn't feel it. But at that time in my life, I was going through a lot of personal issues, and I was just happy to have a job. Looking back on it, it was my fault. A lot of it was my fault why we didn't get pushed. Because we didn't push ourselves, and we didn't demand things. We didn't go in and we didn't question a lot of things like we should have.
Right.
And that's really the way you get ahead. I wanted to go along, didn't want to make waves, and it was really a pretty gloomy time in my life, to be honest with you. I hated it.
How was it working with Chris, though? Did you go along?
Oh, my God, yeah. I loved working with Chris, but the gimmick itself kind of threw everything into turmoil because I would come to work, and while I enjoyed Chris, you know, Tammy was going through her diva period, and if the water wasn't just the right temperature in the building, yeah, she'd throw a fit. little things like that made going to work just sometimes unbearable, but we went out and did what we had to do.
Right.
So working with Chris was fantastic. I mean, I enjoyed that part of it. But again, at that stage of my life and that stage of my career, it wasn't fun. It wasn't becoming. It wasn't as fun as it used to be. And you know, I hate to say it, but I was losing a lot of the passion. And for a number of reasons. And you know, I've got it back over the years. But during that time, and looking back on it, I can see there were a lot of outside factors that played into why I was feeling the way I did at that time.
Rhode Island Red wants to know if you can talk about what led to your release from WWE, and do you still have contact with Vince or JR today?
I have slight contact with JR every now and then, but my release is one of those things that was inevitable in any corporation, and I've looked back on that too. We can use all the standard corporate reasons why I wasn't able to do the budget. I wasn't doing what Johnny wanted me to do or his style. But I think the main factor was when I believed in something or said something, it wasn't always the right thing to believe in or say.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think with any organization or any administration that comes in, whether it be in the President of the United States or the Vice President of WWE, you want to have your people in there, and you want to have people who are loyal to you. And quite honestly, I tried, but quite frankly, I don't believe in Johnny Ace. I don't believe in a lot of his philosophies. I don't believe in a lot of things he believes in, and that clashed. And I think that was some of the things I tried to keep inside, but I believe it became more evident as time went on, and I blame no one but myself for my release. So.
What was it like working for Jim Ross?
I enjoyed Jim working for JR because JR delegated and JR relied on everybody's input. JR would listen because I would go down to OVW and see the system and see the guys who I felt were ready. And you know, we weren't always right on all of them, but you got to roll the dice. But we were right on more of the guys we called up back then than I think they're right on the guys they call up now.
Mm-hmm.
And JR's style of management was get the job done. I don't care how you do it, but get the job done. And in contrast to that, Johnny Ace wants you to look like you're getting the job done, and he wants you to look like your office is neat and straight and orderly. And he's more interested in looks, I think, instead of he's more interested in the sizzle instead of the steak. Let me say that.
Right. Yoshi wants to know if you still talk to Jimmy Del Rey.
No, I haven't talked to Jimmy since we left up there. We were never really that close, which is another reason why I think I was when we got to WWE, we had a lot of different philosophies, and not only in the ring but outside the ring as well. So no, I haven't talked to Jimmy in years.
Now, WrestleFan wants to know, what was the locker room like when Vince was indicted on steroid distribution?
That was when we first came in, and it was. Again, the locker room situation was fine. I mean, it was you had your cliques, you had your EFKs, you had people who hung out with different people. But I never noticed, other than the smaller buildings and the payoffs not being as spectacular as they had been years before, from what I understood, it was no different than any other locker room.
Mm-hmm. What do you look for in WWE talent, and what do you think that Johnny Ace looks for?
You know what? When I looked for WWE talent, I tried to look at the whole package, and not only if they could wrestle, or they could work, or they could perform, but how would they fit in the company, and where were their weaknesses, and what could I do to help them get past that? I had made those mistakes before. I knew what the pitfalls were. And I knew what to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Johnny was one of those guys that used to stick his finger in the air to see which way the wind was blowing that day, and then he'd go with that feeling. You know, I mean, the mandate, seriously, I mean, the mandate for to have a guy 6'2", 240 pounds, nobody under 6'2", nobody under 240 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, how ridiculous is that? How narrow-minded is that? Even say something like that, even though that may be what Vince wants that day, instead of trying to explain to Vince or whoever it may be why that's short-sighted and why that's narrow-minded, then Johnny would just say, "You're okay, boss." And that's, to me, that's what's hurting a lot of the things going on today, because you're not being challenged. You're just saying yes. You're not. I mean, how simple is it to say yes?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard. But to actually stand up for a belief or to stand up for principles, you know, it takes a little balls, and I think that's sorely lacking in that spot.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, do you think that there's a shortage of big men right now in wrestling, or are they all being taken by WWE?
And
wrestling as a whole, I mean, indies and everything.
You know what? You can find big men everywhere. I mean, we've got. I've seen some big guys on the independent scene. I don't know if there's a shortage. There might be a shortage of good big men. That's for sure. But I don't know if there's a shortage of big men, because there's always always big guys wanting to get in.
Mm-hmm. Zion wants to know, who do you think the most promising talent in wrestling today is?
Wow, the most promising. I would have said Randy Orton last year, but I guess promising, again, I'll go back to Aaron Stevens. If given the chance, if given the opportunity, he has all the talent and all the opportunities in the world. Bobby Roode is another guy that comes to mind. who I wanted to sign years ago, and
he was in the last camp we ran at HWA.
Yes, exactly, and he was impressive. He came into some dark matches for WWE, was impressive, and you know, TNA has a hold of him now. That's great, but he is an untapped talent out there that I've always regretted WWE not signing. And once again, it's one of those things where going through the phases of not being 6'2 and 240 pounds, not being a body type, and you just let talent like that go.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Nozier wants to know, what do you think of guys like the Boogeyman, who has minimum in-ring skills and gets pushed fast on TV, while other OVW talent with more in-ring skills are still stuck down there?
You know, that's another thing that, personally, it's aggravating and irritating. But professionally, I understand. There's always been boogeymen in this business. There's always been gimmicks that aren't going to, they're short-lived.
Right.
And the boogeyman is one of those guys. You get the most out of him. He's 40 years old, 41 years old, however old he is. But get the most out of him while you can, and that's nothing new in wrestling. It's frustrating for the guys in OVW because they bust their butt every day, and not that Boogeyman didn't bust his butt every day, but he one of those guys that he's not a natural, he's a gimmick, and he's going to play the gimmick until the gimmick runs out, and that's not very far. It's not a long-lasting gimmick.
Right.
If he's around, he's going to have to change it up. But I, on the personal side, I can understand the frustration from the OVW guys.
Mm-hmm. Rhode Island Red says, I hear you do a great impression of Roddy Piper. Can you do it for us, and have you ever done it for him?
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, I used to do Piper pretty good, and now I talked to Roddy about it, and I probably don't do it as much today, you know, like I used to, because I was doing a lot more smoking pot back then, and I had a lot more on my mind, but, you know. And so, Piper, yeah, I did it for Piper before, but, I mean, I did it. Also, Roddy was sitting around with some guys watching the Dallas show one day when I was doing, it was me doing Piper, because I felt, listening to Roddy and riding with Roddy, and Les knows Piper as well, he's just a very charismatic guy. He's a great guy,
yeah,
who was so low-key until that camera came on, and I was looking for something, and I stole it, and I blatantly stole it. And when he saw me do it, Rick Rude actually was the one who pointed out the Piper, said, this guy's trying to be like you, and Roddy said, well, more power to him. So we've talked about it, and he had no problem with it, you know. So, and it was so easy because, again, it was Roddy just with the volume turned up, and you know, I used the negativity going on in my life to try and focus on my interviews at that time. But at this time of my life, man, I'm so, like, tonight I'm physically and mentally just worn down, and it's been a hell of a month for me, man. And I'm coming off a bad flu as well, so I'm not really feeling all that up to key.
Ah, well, I hope you feel better.
Yeah.
One more question. Fuzzy wants to know, in your opinion, do you think that the Over the Edge pay-per-view should have been stopped when Owen died?
No, I don't. And again, that's one of those things that no matter what kind of call you do, it's not going to be a good one, man. I was there that night, and there was nothing you could do. There was nothing anybody could do.
Right.
And it would have done no good to stop the show, except out of respect for Owen. But at the same time, what would it have accomplished? It was hard to do it either way. I understand the people who would say stop the show, but I don't think that would have been the right thing to do. I think it would have been either way, you're going to get lambasted for it. But Vince did what he thought was right, and sometimes you have to make those decisions.
Mm-hmm. I'll play devil's advocate. What if it was you? What would you have wanted?
Keep the show going. I would. I wouldn't want anybody else to do anything different. And I don't want anybody else to do anything different.
All right.
By the way, when I die, just for the record, I want to be cremated. I don't know if I want to be smashed up or scattered, but I want to be cremated, just for the record.
Okay,
if we don't... Yeah, I don't have a will yet, so if this comes back, you guys hold on to this tape, okay?
Okay, we will do.
If it happens tonight, I want to be cremated, right?
Don't say stuff like that, Doctor.
Yeah, oh, well, that's the way I feel right
now. Your boots and your trunks like they burned the Vikings with their sword and their shield or something.
Yeah, I'd like my boots to be burned to the very soul.
You're in a zip costume.
Yeah, but I already took care of that. I already burned that to his very soul, too.
You want your haircut and your and bleached blonde and...
Yeah, if there was like any, if there's anything that still wasn't me, it was Zip.
He can wear his heavenly body wings.
Oh, Les, why don't you just, like, beat me in the head with a baseball bat tonight, man?
Oh, yeah. God.
When I saw those, I knew Corny loved them.
Well, you know what? Once again, it was Vince's way of just letting everybody know who runs the show, and
sure,
no matter what, he runs the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Tom, I want to thank you for coming on. I know you got a match to go to right now.
Actually, I got done with my match, Doc, but that's okay. Yeah.
He told us on the front end, Doc, had you been paying attention.
But okay, listen, man, it's all right. You know, I would have been an actual physician if I wouldn't have spent so much time in the pharmacy growing up. So we're all good. Anyway, thank you guys for having me on tonight. I really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem.
Tommy,
thank you for being on.
I'll talk to you soon, man.
You got it.
All right,
we'll
brother.
See you.
Bye-bye. Dr. Tom Pritchard here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. We've got still on the way our featured guest, Samoa Joe. We've got a Hot Topic coming up with Irish Pete Doyle.
Do we have a show that we pick the match? No, we don't. We didn't pick the matches for Saturday night.
No, we didn't.
Because I wasn't on your Love Fest last week. I forgot.
No.
Okay, cool.
Love Fest. Les, you're not going to get over this. It was an accident. You're never going to let me live this down.
Coming up soon, Doc's boy, Irish
Pete. Save it until Pete gets on so he can defend me.
Defend you. All right.
Defend my honor.
I got you. Okay.
We're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, Irish Pete Doyle for a Hot Topic right here on Wrestling Weekly. Stick around.
Brothers and sisters, we're here for one reason and one reason alone.
What's up, gang? The Trade Dog here with my tag team partner,
JFK.
Are you looking for the latest and greatest in wrestling media?
Check out a brand new site, www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
The new home of some of your favorite wrestling radio shows, such as
Wrestling News Live,
WTR Sunday Nights,
Monday Night Mayhem,
Wrestling Weekly,
and Trash Talking Radio.
Also, a brand new show that will cover the latest from the world of PS2, PS3, Xbox, and Xbox 360 video games. Not to mention video interviews and other special wrestling video features. For your one-stop shop in the world of wrestling and video game media,
visit our new home at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
Country boys don't rock and roll. Yeah, the record man's home, so you'll never get it on the radio. Well, I'm a crazy son of a
bad word,
but I know I'm gonna make it big and rich. Yeah, I'm gonna let it.
www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
Here's the latest news and information on Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip. Just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Hi there, folks. This is Joseph White here, and I'm here to tell you about a brand new show on www.WrestlingMediaNetwork.com. The show is called From Pillar to Post Live, and it is taking Wednesday nights by storm, with such guests as AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Don West, indie star Human Tornado, and many, many others. This show is something you do not want to miss out on. That's P2P Live every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right after In Your Head. For more information, such as how to contact the hosts, upcoming guests, and to chat with other P2P fans in our forums, log on to www.p2plive.net. That's www.p2plive.net. We'll see you Wednesday night, folks.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Right now on the line from UPW in California, Irish Pete Doyle. Pete, want to thank you for being on the show again. We're all familiar with you by now.
And who's the other guy with you? Les, is he the guest this week?
Yeah, I'm the special guest this week on the Pete and Doc show.
Yeah, right. Oh, it's a pleasure as always.
So how's your week been, Pete?
Oh, he's been great. So I'm on the way to pick up my boy to go see Hello Dolly right
oh,
now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen it, so whatever.
My God, that's talk about a show that's had a long run. I think that was started when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Longer than Cats.
Yeah, okay.
What's the hot topic this week, Pete?
I don't know. I guess you guys may have touched on this already, but Saturday Night's Main Event this past Saturday.
Yes, it was a doozy.
I thought it was great. I thought it served its purpose, you know. And if anything, it was well planned by WWE for to push WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought it was great. I think that's the main purpose of the whole thing, was a tool to push WrestleMania into an audience that may not know what's coming up here in a week or so.
Everybody was a little lukewarm on the ratings, though, right? The 3.6 or 9 or something.
I think it was even lower than that, but I wouldn't be too concerned about that, you know. I mean,
I think NBC will be pretty concerned about it.
Well, yeah, I think the first or the one of the Saturday night main events years ago did an 11,
yeah,
or something like that.
Wow.
Well, I mean, if they're expecting the same ratings to be the way they were years ago, then they really have their heads up their ass.
Well, oh, of course. Well, yeah, we're talking about the addition of how many cable stations in that period of time.
Right.
15 years,
you know?
Yes, sure.
Exactly. And then you got the NCAA basketball, you know, 6.6. You know, I mean, come on. Obviously, I mean, I got my brackets. If I hadn't known it was a game on, I probably would have watched some of it, too. You know?
I haven't really been into college basketball in the last few years.
Let me throw a score at you here. LSU 49, Duke 40. Well, I tied it at 49-49 in the second half with 4:42 to go.
Oh, we know Bruce is, like, jumping out of his chair now.
Yeah, Bruce Mitchell is, yes.
From the torch.
Pulling his hair out and biting his nails. And
I thought it going all the way.
He almost didn't have enough time to talk to me tonight.
Of course, Pete's in that part of the country where, you know, the Wizard of Westwood all the UCLA championships.
Yeah, I mean, I want UCLA to win only because I have them in my bracket to go to the next round. Other than that, I really couldn't care less. I hate USC and UCLA, so, you know.
Pete.
I just want Boston College to win the whole thing.
That's blasphemy back there.
I know, it's great.
You know, well, you're talking about Saturday night, the main event, Pete, and I told Doc at the top of the show, I said, for me, the highlight of the show was JR.
Oh, most definitely. How great was it to hear him again? I mean, that's just...
But it was so like, you know, like he just hadn't even taken a break. He was right there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and he pushed WrestleMania and the storylines more in that one night than, you know, other announcers have in the past 2 months, I think.
Yeah.
You know, he gave you that feel like, I just wanted to buy the pay-per-view. I wanted to see what's going on, because he just pulled me in again, you know? He's so good at that.
There's a lot of rumors going around now that, you know, the job he did on Saturday night's main event, they might want to bring him back and replace Joey Styles.
Well, I mean, why not? I mean, no offense to Joey. Joey's a good commentator, but it's like when you come in and do a job where somebody has done 10 times better only because they've had 10 times more experience in this industry, it's hard to get accepted, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really. I mean, look, you have John Cena, for example, who's coming in to be the big face champion after years of Austin and Rock. And it's the same scenario. He is no Austin and no Rock, and it's hard for anybody to accept him as a serious champion because of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you come in and fill a void, you know, it's very hard to do that. And Joey hasn't done it, and he never will, I don't think, because JR is just that much better.
You know, I think one of the problems with Joey, I said this too, I said because he's being prompted or scripted or whatever you want to call it, and he's not allowed to be himself, you know, and there's part of the problem, I think, too. And I think as a commentator, having pounded that beat myself, is you got, you know, you walk a fine line between being credible and just being stupid. You know, I mean, you can, I've heard some of the old commentators from years ago, you know, like they put a hammerlock over like it was World War III. You know, it was such an oversell, and you blow your own credibility, and part of your job is to, you know, like JR, to fix things a little bit.
Sure. Well,
you cover a bad spot if you see it on your monitor with something. You know, you direct the beat. Part of I've always called part of that job. You were like the sheepdog. You know, okay, fans, turn your eyes here. You're calling where you need them to, you know, in the course of working a storyline or an angle.
Exactly. Yeah. No, and those announcers, man, they're pushing, they're putting those guys over more than anybody. It, almost as much as the guys are putting themselves over, you know?
Yeah.
And it is. It's such an important job on TV to have some good announcers. I mean, you look back in the dying days of ECW, you know, or WCW, should I say, and, you know, you had the worst announce team I've ever seen in pro wrestling, and I think that was part of the demise, not just the workers or the work rate, but also the announce team, because you have to know where to pop and where to put a guy when you're announcing, and if you do it at the wrong spot, people are going to go, this is, you know, people aren't stupid, they're going to sit there and go, no, that's not right, what are you kidding me? And they turn off, you know.
Yeah, it's done right. It's a job. You know, you're kind of like the catcher in baseball. You see the whole field.
Exactly.
And you've got to, you know, cover. Like I say, try to cover things and make sense of something that probably makes no sense at times.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Right. Yeah. And even if the guy's not running and the catcher throws the ball to second base, people are going to look at second base to see what the hell's going on.
Exactly.
You're exactly right. You're right.
I feel a little bit sorry for Joey Styles myself, because they don't really let him be himself and do it the way he knows how to do it. You know what I mean?
Well, see, that's part of the problem, I think, with the business across the board is some of the guys who aren't good at promos, might be good if they were allowed to be creative, aren't good script readers.
Right.
Exactly.
And if you've got, if the three of us are writing everybody's dialogue, then guess what? Everybody's going to sound like the three of us.
Exactly. No, totally
I'd probably
that,
sound
yeah.
better, but...
Yeah, I think the way you should do it is, I think a character should write their own promos and then maybe present it to somebody like Vince and see what Vince thinks.
Well, I think give you your parameters, right? Okay, Pete, here's what... we were just talking earlier about Blackjack Mulligan. Here was a guy who was unique, and I've worked with some of the best promo people in the business over the last 40-plus years. But Blackjack always told a story. He had a cast of characters that he always, you know, well, yes, you know, that reminds me of this or that. And then he'd go into one of his stories, and it just made him stand apart. Plus, he's 6'9", 300 pounds, and dressed all in black. It looks like he's going to kill you, you know. But, I mean, that's the whole point. It's a combination of those things. And he didn't, none of those guys, you know, they were told, but still they were told, what, here's your bullet points, you know. You need to make this point and this point and this point and get that into your promo.
Exactly.
Mr. WrestleMania Fever in the chat room says that Joey calls the moves, not the story.
Right. Yeah, and you know, the moves aren't as important as the story. I mean, sure, you say, oh, what a neck breaker, you know,
But can you do that to whomever at WrestleMania? Because, you know, it's going to be, you know, you sure you can announce the moves, but you got to plug the moves into the storyline, not the storyline into the moves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's one of the things. See, back in the day, when a lot of us, before we had partners, you know, which wasn't uncommon, you know, still in the 70s to work single, you had to be you were your own color man and play-by-play guy. Right. So, you know, you had to be able to swing back and forth. I know if a lot of people saw, like, when Sully and I worked together, we were a lot the same. I mean, I threw more color in, obviously, from a wrestler standpoint, but we were a lot the same because we had both come from the single announcer background.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's, I know a lot of people, it's when Bob Cottle and I were doing Smokey, somebody reviewed it and said, well, there's too much alike. Well, you know, it's not, I don't know, you know, that's probably true, but you know, when you're single, and that's, Joey was a single announcer, yeah, in ECW. He worked alone, right? You know, so I mean, that's a tough habit to break. But I'll tell you what, you can't underplay the importance of that guy, and if he's not comfortable, you sense that as well. It's not something we're talking about it now. But the fans, I mean, and it's, never mind, it's wrestling, it's scripted. It could be baseball, football, basketball. If the guy's not coming across as creditable, then you're having a problem with what you're watching.
Sure, I totally agree. And I think that's the problem with today's product is there is, I mean, you look at SmackDown, you got two play-by-play guys, really.
Yeah.
So you need a color guy in there. And you look at Raw, and Coach is not a good color guy. King was such a great, back to that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but even there, now see, we always, one of the things we did in Crockett is when there was Cottle, Ed Capel, and myself. Well, Cottle worked for the station, so he obviously, and he did the A show, and Ed and I switched on the B show. I mean, I did 6-7 months, Ed did the promos, and then he did the show, and I did the promos. But right. that gave him a different perspective. Plus, it kept somebody, you know, fresh. But that's, now I'll tell you what, I love, Gene Okerlund's a great guy. What I didn't like about Gene Okerlund, there's a case of a guy overselling things. Not every minute or every day, but, you know, he's, and the entire building's on their feet. And I'm thinking, okay, there's a guy going up the concession stand, but everybody else is sitting down, you know. You got to realize it's television,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you can't overbuild it. Don West, I have never met him, so it's not a personal issue, but I just think he oversells everything.
Yeah, he kind of does. Every night's the greatest night in history.
Yeah. Well, see, and it's how, you know, and I think a good announcer, whether it's a two-hour show, one-hour show, or a three-hour pay-per-view, has to, like a wrestler, it's like you build. You can't open with World War III. You have no place to go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree, Pete?
If he's still
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Pete? Sorry, you watching Pete. The game?
No, I was actually in my truck, but you were cutting in and out. But
oh, okay.
I didn't hear most of that. But I totally
LSU,
agree.
LSU is up by 1 with 1:50 to go.
Uh-oh.
Wow. Close game.
Who do you got, Pete, on that game?
I have Duke. To go to the next round. And
I think everybody does.
Yeah, they were a number one seed. Yeah, they're usually a tough ball club to beat. And when, you know.
You know, you can never tell when it gets to March.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, totally. I mean, you can oversell. It's just like a wrestler in the ring. I mean, just like, you know, the girls getting hit by the pillows on Saturday night, they kind of oversold the pillow, you know.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with announcing. Yeah, you like.
Is he there? We're kind of losing Pete.
Pete,
there?
There you are, Pete.
Are you guys there?
Yeah, you're cutting in and out, my friend.
Am I? I'm sorry.
Are you guys having an earthquake or something out there?
But you were talking about overselling.
Yes. You know, it's basically with the girls with the pillows, you know. I mean, Tori was getting hit by...
Yeah, that, you know, yeah. Or a plastic garbage can, right?
Yeah.
No, that's true. Yeah. I see that happen, and I just cringe, man. You know,
yeah.
That, to me, that's one of the things that I stress when I teach is, you know, you got to be thinking every second in there. Because it is a work, makes it more difficult than if it were a shoot.
Right. Yeah. What about Al Snow jobbing to the popcorn bag?
Well, it's a comedy routine, you know, and it's all in good fun, and you're poking fun of the hardcore match, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's a little different because, I mean, everybody got a rise out of that, you know. I mean, who didn't get a rise out of that? And it's Al Snow, you know, he can get away with it, you know.
Well, you know what? Al is a comedian, and he's good at that, but you know what? I always had hoped for him in his WWE run or WWF or whatever happened to be at the time, where you could see the real Al was a hell of a chain wrestler, and cuts a good serious promo if given to. Now he never promoed till he came to Smokey, and he got his opportunity there with us. But he's a good worker. He's obviously the first Pillman show in '98. He and Candido had a hell of a match, and they bought a stuff in. You know, they got the spot with Tammy in there, Sonny, whatever she was at the time. They got a comedy spot. They did a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a hell of a match.
Yeah. We're going to go ahead and end the Hot Topic segment. Pete, are you still listening? Yeah, I think we lost him. We're going to go ahead and close that out. And we've got some more news coming up for you. Of course, Samoa Joe coming up on Wrestling Weekly. It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher. Stick around. We'll be right back with more on Wrestling Weekly.
Brothers and sisters, we're here for one reason and one reason alone.
What's up, gang? The Trade-Off here with my tag team partner,
JFK.
Are you looking for the latest and greatest in wrestling media?
Check out a brand new site, www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
The new home of some of your favorite wrestling radio shows, such as
Wrestling News Live,
WTR Sunday Nights,
Monday Night Mayhem,
Wrestling Weekly,
and Trash Talking Radio.
Also, a brand new show that will cover the latest from the world of PS2, PS3, Xbox, and Xbox 360 video games. Not to mention video interviews and other special wrestling video features. For your one-stop shop in the world of wrestling and video game media,
visit our new home at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
Country boys don't rock and roll. Yeah, the record man's home, and so you'll never get it on the radio. Well, I'm a crazy son of a
bad word,
but I know I'm gonna make it big and rich. Yeah, I'm gonna let it.
www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
Here's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Hi there, folks. This is Joseph White here, and I'm here to tell you about a brand new show on www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com. The show is called From Pillar to Post Live, and it is taking Wednesday nights by storm, with such guests as AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Don West, indie star Human Tornado, and many, many others. This show is something you do not want to miss out on. That's P2P Live every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right after In Your Head. For more information, such as how to contact the hosts, upcoming guests, and to chat with other P2P fans in our forums, log on to www.p2plive.net. That's www.p2plive.net. We'll see you Wednesday night, folks.
Now it's time for the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hello, this is Adam Martin from WrestleView.com with some breaking news. For all the latest and greatest in wrestling media, check out a brand new website at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com, the new home of some of your favorite wrestling radio shows such as WTR Sunday Nights, Wrestling News Live, Monday Night Mayhem, Wrestling Weekly, and Trash Talking Radio. Also, a brand new show that will cover all the latest from the world of PS2, PS3, Xbox, and Xbox 360 video games, not to mention video interviews and other special wrestling video features. For your one-stop shop in the world of wrestling and video game media, visit our new home at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com. This has been a breaking news update from WrestleView.com. I'm Adam Martin.
Back to you!
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly.
Yes, and it's Duke up by 3 with about 30 seconds to go in the ball game.
Duke is up by 3?
I'm sorry, LSU up by 3. Over Duke, yeah, number 4 seed LSU, number 1 seed Duke.
Bruce is going crazy.
I mean, Coach K ain't going to make it to the Final Four.
Probably not.
They'll be flying flags at half mast.
Probably. Yeah. TNA superstar Monty Brown underwent knee surgery last Friday. A lot of people, you know, this has been reported, but a lot of people haven't been talking about it.
Yeah.
But it caused him to miss TNA's first house show, which was in his hometown at Detroit, Michigan on Saturday.
Yeah, they had a good turnout. And, yeah, that's... talking about surgery, Terry Taylor is going to have his neck fused.
Ooh.
In a couple weeks.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that'll make him feel better.
Yes.
Brown did blow out his knee several weeks ago while working at the Destination X pay-per-view against Christian Cage with his knee taped and braced. There's no actual deadline as to when he's going to return from his injury. But it is expected that he will return soon, so that's good news for Monty.
Yeah, yeah. I was told he has a very successful personal training business, too.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know nothing about that. We're going to have to get him on the show again pretty soon.
Yeah.
We haven't had Monty Brown on in a long time. But Ashley Massaro has announced on her MySpace that she has signed a 3-year contract extension with WWE, which she's going to begin once her current contract ends.
Yeah. Do you have a MySpace site?
I do.
Do you, Doc?
Yes, I do.
Now, what's the big deal about everybody on MySpace? What's the difference?
I don't know what the big deal is about it because it's not really that. It's not all that great.
You have to buy it, or?
No, it's free.
Uh-huh.
And you just... add friends to it, connect with friends. A lot of wrestlers have it.
And then you also can have music on there, right?
Yeah, you get a music. It could play a music video once you get to your page and stuff. When you go to my page, it plays me announcing at IWA.
Yeah. It does what?
It plays me announcing over at IWA.
Oh, okay.
That's what you get when you go to my page.
I knew there's a reason I hadn't been there.
Yeah, it's one of those look at me. It's one of those look at me pages.
Yeah, I remember everybody's MySpace and MySpace.
Yeah, but you need to get one, Les.
Yeah, I know. I realize I haven't lived a full life. So.
not until you get one. No.
Exactly.
You haven't savored everything that life has to offer.
Right. So listen, since you guys didn't let me be on the show last week, I don't know who won in our picking the winners and losers of the TNA pay-per-view.
Well, that's because I won.
Okay. Oh, okay, cool.
We didn't.
You always win, Doc, but then you're the guy that always keeps scoring. I'm not sure if if that means anything, you know.
No, actually, you've won once or twice.
Have I won once or twice?
Yeah.
All right.
But
LSU up by 6 with 18 seconds to go.
It's always close, though.
Yeah, well, it ain't going to be this. They will play hell winning this one. LSU just pulled a rebound down.
I think that's going to be about it.
9 seconds left on the clock.
Man, what an upset.
6 points down. It's over, brother. It is over.
Oh, man.
Yes, Duke ain't going any further.
Number one seed lost.
Yep.
That's crazy.
And for those of you in New Zealand and Australia and England, you didn't give a damn about this.
I know. Sometimes I forget.
What are we talking about here?
Sometimes I forget this is worldwide.
We're talking about the NCAA basketball tournament, which is called March Madness here in the States.
Yeah.
And it is.
It truly is.
Yeah, everybody's insane about what's going on. So, anyway, Louisiana State University got nine seconds away from defeating number one seeded Duke, which has been a national power for years under Coach K or Krzyzewski.
Yeah, Coach K's better.
That with a K, but anyway, whatever. Now you know why they call him Coach K. Right?
Yeah, we are going to go ahead and get Samoa Joe on the line.
All right.
We know that everybody's waiting to hear from Joe. I spoke with him earlier, so he's not, I swear, he's not going to stand us up.
He's not what?
He's not going to stand us up because I talked to him just a little bit ago.
Okay.
So we're going to take a quick break, a quick one this time, and we're going to get Samoa Joe on the line. Samoa Joe coming up on Wrestling Weekly when we come back.
Hi there, folks. This is Joseph White here, and I'm here to tell you about a brand new show on www.WrestlingMediaNetwork.com. The show is called From Pillar to Post Live, and it is taking Wednesday nights by storm. With such guests as AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Don West, indie star Human Tornado, and many, many others, this show is something you do not want to miss out on. That's P2P Live every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right after In Your Head. For more information, such as how to contact the hosts, upcoming guests, and to chat with other P2P fans in our forums, log on to www.p2plive.net. That's www.p2plive.net. We'll see you Wednesday night, folks.
Now it's time for the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hello, this is Adam Martin from WrestleView.com with some breaking news. For all the latest and greatest in wrestling media, check out a brand new website at www.WrestlingMediaNetwork.com, the new home of some of your favorite wrestling radio shows such as WTR Sunday Nights, Wrestling News Live, Monday Night Mayhem, Wrestling Weekly, and Trash Talking Radio. Also, a brand new show that will cover all the latest from the world of PS2, PS3, Xbox, and Xbox 360 video games, not to mention video interviews and other special wrestling video features. For your one-stop shop in the world of wrestling and video game media, visit our new home at www.WrestlingMediaNetwork.com. This has been a breaking news update from WrestleView.com. I'm Adam Martin.
Back to you!
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? do you absolutely have to know all about their history. You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our featured guest from TNA, Samoa Joe. Joe, I want to thank you for returning to Wrestling Weekly.
Well, it's good to be back, gentlemen.
Joe, we were just talking when we came on the air, and we might as well get right to that because Doc, I know he's got the kids are going to have questions in the chat room. But I made a comment, and I think other people see it the same way. And when I say this, these people like myself are fans of yours. I think getting you, breaking you away from the X division, and I'm not taking anything away from AJ or Chris or any of those or any of the Chris's or any of those guys, but I think you're just there's more possibilities in terms of storylines, and I see you with that NWA heavyweight title at some point.
Well, you know, those are very whimsical scenarios, and I'd love to fulfill them, but as of right now, you know, it's a brand new move on TNA's part. And you know, we're gonna see how it goes, and hopefully it goes really, really well, and hopefully we get out there and entertain those fans, and then give them something that they want to tune into every week.
I'm sure you're excited like everybody else. The move to Thursday night next month.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely excited.
You know, do you feel that the 11 o'clock, the move from 9 to 11 is a minus or doesn't much matter?
You know, I don't really think it doesn't much matter. I mean, of course, you want to be the primetime lead-in show. But, you know, actually, when the announcement was made to us, Spike had sent down, sent down somebody to explain to us their thoughts and their thinking on everything. They're very happy with everything. You know, the ratings are the best they've been in that slot. But, you know, they're about trying to brand a night that's full contact Thursday, and they want... you know, they want TNA to be an integral part of it, and you know, doing that, it's going to take quite a line of change, and you know, they want Ultimate Fighter to lead into TNA and the TNA to kind of cap off the night. So it's still, you know, for me, it's still a bit late for my taste, but at the same time, you know, I know we'll do the best of what we're given, we always have, and you know, we'll try to put on a hell of a show.
You know, you've been quite a globetrotter. You worked in Mexico and then into New York to do the Ring of Honor show, and then. What was it, the next day you were back in Orlando, or was it what?
Actually, I had to stop over in Toronto and Detroit, and then, yeah, there I was back in the TNA.
Do you ever call anybody and say, can somebody say, tell me where I am and actually what time it is here?
Yeah, and that person actually is Bill Behrens. I mean, at this point, I mean, the schedule's so filled up, I show up to the airport, and I've literally shown up to the airport and asked people, you know, hey, am I flying on this airline or am I flying on that airline?
Wow. You made your debut in 1999. Am I right?
Yes.
And we talked about, last time you were on the show, this was when you had just signed with TNA. You hadn't even started yet.
Nope.
And we talked about your career before that. But you only trained for a short time.
You know, about 3 months, 7 days a week for the most part. You know, I made a quick debut. Was I ready? I mean, I don't know. It went well, but you know, it's a nerve-wracking thing, especially with that little amount of time to really prepare for your in-ring debut.
Did you have to learn a lot of stuff like after you had started?
You know what? I you know, you always learn. I mean, it's kind of a loaded question because, you know, you're always learning stuff.
Sure.
You know, tons of stuff even afterwards. But, I mean, for the most part, as far as basics and stuff like that, they were so kind of drilled into me and kind of driven into me by my trainers that, you know, I was pretty well acclimatized just to the you know, the basics and knowing how to protect myself and knowing how to do some basic things in the ring. And of course, you know, after that, you it's a whole new world, you know, at day one after you wrestle your first match. So, I mean, yeah, you do learn a lot, but, I mean, it's to be expected, you know.
Mm-hmm. Who did train you? Give him some props.
A guy named Cincinnati Red. He was the primary, you know, guy who really kind of took me under his wing, you know, got me in my first booking, really got me around to different promoters and helped me get seen. And, you know, he still works with guys. I think he works with Jesse Hernandez now at EWF, and he's helping him out with guys. And he's still a good mentor to guys. He's still working with guys. And, you know, he's just a good, solid person who really wasn't there to take my money. I mean, he saw that I had a drive and a desire to do things. And I showed up on time, and I paid on time, and then he respected that, and he took real good care of me.
Excellent.
Just for the short period of time you've been in the business, and a lot of people think it isn't short, but this business takes a while. You've matured fast, and
yes.
Over this past year, you must be really on a heck of an emotional high because you've had three or four matches, and a lot of people consider match of the year candidates, and with Kobashi and then your match with Styles and Daniels, the first one, and so forth and so forth and so forth. I mean, you must really feel good about that.
You feel good about it, but, you know, then again, you can't really let that make you rest on your laurels. I mean, I'm still experimenting with things. I'm still trying to try new things out. I still got new ideas for different things, and right now it's just kind of a matter of implementing those types of things at the right time so they can kind of translate to the crowd and translate well in the work that I do. You're right. I mean, you know, for the amount of time in the business, in all honesty, 6 years is a very limited amount of time to really be in professional wrestling. But, you know, I've been fortunate enough that I've been able to work with good people. I've been in good environments and had good experiences and gained good experience from good people. So, I mean, the maturation process, you know, is definitely sped up by that because, you know, when you're 3 years in and, you know, you're on your first pay-per-view in Osaka for 20,000 people, you know, either you sink or you swim, and it's kind of something that I've kind of held close to is that, you know, when you're given the opportunity, you definitely have to deliver it to the very best of your ability and make it work. You know, you only get opportunities so often, and when they are made available to you, you know, you got to take advantage of them to the fullest.
Well, I tell you what, last Saturday night I saw what you did to Larry Zbyszko's office, so I'm not gonna piss you off.
That was awesome with the door.
Yeah, and actually very much unplanned. I thought I was going to be in a lot of trouble with Don Harris after the shoot, but he said, well, hell, we need to get a new door there anyway. I got to learn, you got to kick at the doorknob, not the hinges, but you know, whatever.
That thing just, oh my, I thought it was gimmicked at first. Because it just flattened.
Yeah, yes, it is just a. I scared the hell out of Larry, by the way, the other day, walking down the hall too. So it kind of made for good TV. He's like, "Oh, you son of a bitch! I could have been standing behind it." And I was like, "Oh, sorry, legend."
It's a good thing that it's a good thing he wasn't. Tell us about the Best of the World match.
The what match?
The Best of the World match.
The Best of the World match?
Yeah, the GHC Junior Heavyweight Champion.
Was that with Gabe Zvillian now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even get a chance to read the press releases anymore. All I know is I'm wrestling Ken and Mar Fuji. this weekend, and it's, you know, I mean, Kenta and Mar Fuji, their abilities in the ring speak for themselves, and they're a couple of young, hungry guys, and, you know, I know me and Brian, we're still pretty young, we're still pretty spry and hungry ourselves, so, I mean, I'm looking forward to putting together something good for the ROH fans. I mean, as much as I love TNA, you know, there's always a special spot in my heart for ROH, and it's because of matches like this. I mean, in ROH, I'm going to get a chance, you know, the best in the world are going to get a chance to showcase themselves if they come to ROH, and that's kind of a guarantee. And, you know, I doubt that all four of us will do anything less.
Mara Fuji is the one that looks like the Oriental Terry Gordy, right?
It is, I guess, in a manner of speaking. I mean, it's kind of a warped view.
Yeah, I mean, the blonde hair and built the same. And
Terry?
Huh?
As Terry?
Yeah, I mean, one of the guys from NOAH is...
I wouldn't think it was Mara Fuji. Mara Fuji is quite the lanky young gentleman, so
okay.
Maybe not him.
I'm trying to think who the kid was at Cauliflower Alley 2 years ago and worked a match with Steve Fender. Damn, I can't think of his name.
Trust me, their names are harder to remember than anything else you can possibly imagine.
I'm going to get to some questions from the chat room. We've got our live chat room going, and Shockage says, are you in any way connected to the 70s and 80s Samoa Joe who wrestled in New Zealand?
No, I am not.
Shockage is from ObsessedWithWrestling.com. I don't know if you've heard about them.
I probably have. I mean,
he's from the South Pacific Division, Samoan born, and he wants to say talofa lava to you.
Talofa lava, yeah, good. That's a good guy, man. He's my people. They're showing up.
Yeah. Zane Rapture says, since it looks like you're getting the push to the world title division, when do we get to see you kick Jeff Jarrett's head off?
I don't know. You know, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, I think a lot of people think I'm privy to a lot more information than I really am, but I mean, it's literally a case where I show up every week and they tell me what's going to go down. And, you know, even the Sabu thing, I didn't know until I showed up that day.
Oh,
and,
wow.
It's, you know, we'll see where TNA goes with it. I mean, if it does lead to a world title thing, then that's the case. But as of right now, you know, I'm just kind of doing my thing with the people they tell me to, and I'm going to do my very best and do the very best I can in that situation.
Here's the best advice I can give you, one wrestler to another. If it's the boss, Joe, loosen up.
Big K wants to know who your favorite wrestler was growing up.
I always say Arn Anderson. I just if anybody stuck out in my head, a guy that I liked watching and a guy that I got, you know, I kind of connected with and I understood what he was about, it was Arn. Because, you know, even though he was the enforcer of the Horsemen, he was kind of like the second guy in charge behind Flair. I mean, he had this real, he kind of gave up his persona that he was going to go out there and get the job done. And always dug it. And I thought he was always, you know, he always did really cool things that a lot of guys weren't doing in WCW at the time. And then he just, everything he did looked really, really, like, credible and looked like he was really trying to kill somebody.
Great promos, too.
Yeah, awesome promos.
Yeah. You know, he was like kind of in the shadow of Flair, but honestly, Arn was probably a more complete performer than Rick. He just didn't have the charisma.
Yeah, and you know, even some of his phone work, I'm a real big fan of. I mean, his delivery style, everything. He just was a guy who he sounded like a guy who was going to come over there, who was about to come over to your house and kick your ass. I mean,
yeah.
he didn't sound like a guy who was making outlandish claims or making grandiose types of statements to get attention. He sounded like a guy who was pretty much going to show up and beat the shit out of you, and for the most
exactly.
part he did.
Well, you know, I think there's a line of credibility there, too. An old-timer told me one time, he said, you know, kid, when you were doing promos, he said, just realize this. He said, you walk in the kitchen and you catch your 8-year-old with their hand in the cookie jar. And you tell them, if I catch you that way again, I'm going to turn you over my knee and spank you. Now, they're buying that because they know you're shooting.
Mm-hmm.
They said, but you tell them, the next time I catch your hand, I'm going to throw you over the moon. Even that 8-year-old knows that's a work.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so
yep.
there's that fine line of selling your product or overselling it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, I mean, there definitely is a place in wrestling for those types of theatrics. But, I mean, I think you need that contrast. I think you need somebody to kind of sit you down and tell you softly who's going to beat the living hell out of you. rather than screaming it in your ear, because, you know, it just kind of loses impact when everybody in the world's doing it.
You're right.
Right.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
And you want to have the other. Rhode Island Red says, can you talk about your match against S.A. Rios on WWE Jacked? And do you have any interest in going back to WWE in the future?
My match with S.A. Rios was short, sweet, and to the point. I actually walked down with the referee, of all things. I think he got interest music. I didn't, but you know, it was, you know, it just when I started out, I was about 2 years in. You know, it was an enhancement match, and I mean, it's you go out there and you do what they tell you to do. And I mean, as far as going to WWE, I mean, I definitely don't want to rule out the possibility. But I mean, as of right now, I just don't think that is, you know, something that's really viable, especially since I just upped with TNA for 2 years. You know, at some point in my career, I mean, I would love to say that I stepped foot in the WWE and I tried my hand at it. And, you know, if that happens, that happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Mm.
But it's something that, you know, that at somewhere down the line, I'd love to say that I did.
Matt Rat wants to know, who do you enjoy working with talent-wise?
Well, I mean, obviously AJ and Chris. I mean, at this point, it's kind of clockwork because it just seems like I'm married to him.
Yeah.
You know, guys like to work in Japan. Always Masato Tanaka and Otani. I always say that they're two of my favorite guys to work with ever. Especially Tanaka. I mean, just a phenomenal, phenomenal wrestler and athlete. And he goes out there and just riles up the crowd every time he goes out. You know, here in the States, I love working with Brian Danielson, a guy that, you know, we came up with the New Japan Dojo together, and it's kind of clockwork with him. Austin Aries is fun. Roddy Strong. You know, the list goes on. I mean, you know, Jay Lethal. I really could go on for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, those are the guys who, you know, it's always an easy type of night. It's always a pleasure to go in there and work with those guys, because I know they're going to be there. I know they're going to be ready. I know they're going to be, you know, raring to go.
There's a guy, Lethal, for so young, has come a long way quick.
Oh, yeah.
A long way. And I think he's just starting. I mean, I think, especially with TNA, and I think with the way they're positioning him, and just from what I know in his abilities, I think Lethal is going to be huge this year. I think you're going to be talking about Jay Lethal at the end of this year, you know, as opposed to you know, the usual suspects. So I mean, don't be surprised at all. You know, I've always been really high on Jay, and I'll continue to be. He's a good person and a great wrestler, and you know, I look forward to seeing what he's going to produce.
Jay Palermo wants to know, what is your philosophy on how stiff you work in the ring?
I work as hard as I like it, giving back to me, you know. Wrestling, you know, there's lots of different schools of thought in wrestling.
Right.
And I've always kept the stance that, you know, there is no one right way. Because, I mean, I'm sure Les will tell you that if there was one right way to do wrestling, he could hand you a manual and you'd be the greatest wrestler within a matter of 2 weeks.
Right.
And that's just not the case. You know, there's different styles, there's different schools of thought. And, you know, it's always about finding that happy medium between the two wrestlers before you go out there and go do what you're going to do. You know, believe it or not, I actually suffer from the opposite where, you know, a lot of people are worried about, you know, how I'm going out there murdering people. But, you know, I have the persona of, you know, because I work stiff. I work tight. I'm not going to lie or try to sugarcoat it. You know, I go out there and I'm throwing bombs. And, you know, you got to know how to protect yourself. You got to know how to take it. But at the same time, I'm going to take everything I give out to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get this type of attitude from a lot of guys where they're like, you know, hey, especially newer guys who don't really know me or wrestling for the first time, that, you know, hey, I'm getting in the ring with Samoa Joe, I have to punch him in the face immediately. And
get,
you know,
in.
I don't get that mad because I understand where they're coming from. I understand why they do what they did, but at the same time, I'm looking at him going, you know, this could only result badly for you in the long run. You know? So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword, you know.
Yeah.
Where persona can oftentimes overtake what the fact of the matter is, and you get a lot of guys who, you know, I'll walk in there, especially guys I work with the first time, and you know, they'll come up to me, and you know, the first, and this is kind of a telltale sign, is when I get to an arena and I'll meet somebody and like, hey, you know, looking forward to a good match. He's like, hey, by the way, you know, just go ahead and lay it in, brother. And it's like, you know, the minute you kind of get that, and you kind of roll your eyes and go, oh, Jesus, we're in for one tonight. But you know, it's just like, it kind of comes with the turf. You know, you can't really avoid it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, like Bronco Lubitsch told me one time when I was just a kid, I almost cracked up. He was straight, but we were called to the center of the ring for the instructions. He said, Thatcher, do me a favor. Hit me hard the first time. That way, I won't feel anything else the rest of the night.
it's the truth. But I mean, especially now with my schedule being like it is. I mean, it's nuts. You know, you kind of peel back certain things a little bit, but for the most part, I'm trying to keep status quo with what my fans expect from me.
Yeah. Now, Joe, we were talking to Les a little bit earlier, and you got to tell him you have a MySpace account, don't you?
Yes, I do. Set up by my wonderful web person.
We are trying to talk to. We're trying to talk Les into getting one for himself.
I'm just learning how to get on my own website, for Christ's sake. Don't get me multitasking. I don't even know what that means, but don't get me doing it. Right?
Let's still fort around those chain letters that'll even say if you don't respond to him, you'll have bad luck for 7 years. He's brand new. He doesn't have a game yet.
I'll tell you what. If you're getting those, they're coming from here. My wife's.
Yeah.
No worries.
Yeah.
Now, I went to Joe's MySpace just the other day. He's got like 10,000 friends on there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
I have like 50.
They're all hanging on for the when he wins that NWA world title and he gets all those millions of
Absolutely.
Dollars.
Absolutely. They're going to say, yeah, I'm friends with Joe. I talk to him on MySpace all the time.
You know, and like the worst part is, you know, I'm out now for you know, four or five days at a time, and I'll come back and, you know, I have to like look at that MySpace account, which, you know, I try to look at it when I can.
Uh-huh.
And you know, my God, like I'll have 36 pages filled of friend requests and you know, another 52 pages of emails, and I'm just like, you know, clicking through them. And by the way, you know, to MySpacers out there, I do not want to join your club. No matter what it is, I do not want to join it. Stop sending me emails about it. Like, you know, I'm sure it's the coolest club in the world. I'm sure all the nifty, high-class profile people are in there. But I do not want to join your club, so please. Spare me at least 23 pages of emails I got to read through.
Now that you're on national television, are you getting any proposals, any women wanting to marry you or anything?
No, nothing like that. Unless, you know, those would do, my girlfriend would really appreciate it. So, well, that never happens. What are you talking about? You guys are out of your mind.
Yeah.
I'm a one-woman guy. She's a great girl. There we go.
Awesome.
For you.
Shaka wants to know, are you friends with any other Samoan wrestlers?
Oh, Sonny Siaki.
Mm-hmm.
I met Rosie a couple times, a real nice guy. I haven't really met Jamal, Eki, or... you know, LA Smooth, or, you know, I met Hoffa once when I was real small and I was a kid. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, I Sonny's pretty much probably one of the only ones.
Rhode Island Red says, and I know you don't know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyway just to satisfy him, but can you respond to the rumors that Goldberg might be coming in?
Yeah, I don't really know, because nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, they had me, they dropped his name in the pay-per-view promo that I had, and, I mean, I would hope that it was for a reason, but
yeah.
I guess we'll have to find out. I mean, this I can tell you 100% is that there's nothing I know in planned out or, like, you know, set in stone right now. But, you know, with TNA, I know their front office is always negotiating hard and trying to get things done, so... you know, who knows, maybe we'll see good old Bill in the Total Nonstop Action Impact Zone.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Matt Rat says, what did you think of ECW when it was going strong, and did you feel like you could fit in there at the time?
You know, I thought ECW was great. I mean, I actually had a chance to go to a show, and it was real high energy, and I thought the atmosphere that they provided and, you know, the fans seemed to be entertained and all about it. And, you know, in that aspect, I mean, I thought ECW was really a really, really great thing. Would I fit in there? Probably. I mean, if I would have been anywhere, let's say if it was still the big three dichotomy or the big two and the rogue one type of scenario, then, yeah, I probably would be in ECW. But, you know, that's all hearsay and hypotheticals. And you know, as of right now, I'm an NWA TNA wrestler and looking to make the best out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good place to end. I want to thank you for being on the show again, Joe.
No worries.
A really great interview. And I don't know how you say goodbye in Samoan, but...
easy.
Easy. Fought.
If you look a little bit... Fought. Yeah. Or you can go like, so fought, so four, or you can go like 22 million other types of goodbyes, but fought is always... Always is perfect.
Okay, so fa.
Before we say sa, I want to say take care of yourself and good luck, man, and enjoy watching your work.
Oh, thank you very much, Les, and I will look forward to your next chain email, my friend.
I'll see you in Dayton next time around.
Yes, you will.
All right, buddy.
Excellent.
Bye-bye, Joe.
See you.
Samoa Joe here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. He's good people. And seriously, he has. I mean, he's young physically. I mean, chronologically, but he's got such a great grasp for the business. Honestly, a very mature mind.
Just a natural.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. And the fact that he is so basic, I think, gets over because it stands out. You know, there's no gimmicks, and I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. I was still never going to get over that door. I was just like, wow.
Get over the what? The door?
The door.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But that's a big man right there. That's a big guy.
He's got a great future. He really does. And wherever he works, I mean, he's going to do well. He's building a great reputation, and which is going to make him a pretty wealthy man on down the road.
Excellent. Well, we're going to break out of here, guys. I want to thank everybody for being here with us on the show.
I want to thank you and Pete for allowing me to be on the show this week.
Well, you're welcome, Les, and you can come back.
All right, man.
You can come back next week
all
too.
Right, hey, you're such a nice guy. Yeah, it's been fun. No pay-per-views this weekend. What's wrong?
I don't know. We'll have to do it again next weekend.
There you go.
But next week, guys, don't forget to tune in. It's going to be an excellent program once again. The First Lady of Wrestling, Missy Hyatt, is going to be here.
Oh, my God.
Yes. It's going. You get the censor button ready, because Missy Hyatt's going to be on Wrestling Weekly. And our featured guest next week, Paul Bearer, a.k.a. Percy Pringle III, is going to be joining the program. So it's going to be a great one.
Along with Missy?
Along with Missy.
Hey, all right.
It's going to be a good program next week.
Cool.
I want to thank WrestleTalk Radio for their help tonight. Don't forget to check out what Les is up to every day at lesthatcher.com.
We got a date for the Chicago PCW Saturday the 15th, too. Plus, we'll be, I know for sure we got some coming up in Delaware, probably to Indiana, Colorado, Nevada, and Georgia before the year's out. So.
Excellent. We'll have all that information up on the site as soon as possible. So check it out, lesthatcher.com and epwt.com. Also, don't forget to check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. They're the man, collectively. They're the man. Wrestling Weekly is a part of the Wrestling Media Network. That's WrestlingMediaNetwork.com and RadioWrestling.net.
And
guys,
Doc Young is our grammar consultant here on the radio.
Yes, they're collectively the man.
Right, all right, cool, man.
We will see you guys next week. Missy Hyatt and Percy Pringle next week, guys. Stick around.
Cool.
You've been listening to Wrestling Weekly. Please join us next Thursday from 8 to 10 Eastern here on www.wrestlingweekly.com.